WTF, we're doing a podcast. I'm Nikki.
And I'm Michelle. This is 50. Welcome to What the 50. Join us on our continued journey to simplify our lives.
We will seek the answers from the experts and offer tips, tools, and techniques to live your life with confidence and joy. Are we ready?
Let's go.
Hey, Michelle, here we are with Avalon.
Nikki. Yes, I can't wait to hear all about her travels.
So, Michelle, you introduced me to Avalon as a tutor for my son, Kaylin, for Spanish.
Right.
So where did you know about Avalon from?
I actually discovered Avalon on Instagram.
What?
Yes. And then I reached out to her and I literally fell in love with her. I just thought she was just an amazing.
She did.
You have an amazing spirit. I'm speaking like you're not
Thank
here.
Thank you so much.
You have an amazing spirit. And I immediately said, okay, she's going to teach me French, Spanish, or whatever language there is.
And then she was crushing hard.
And then my son, of course, was doing Spanish. Well, he started doing French. We know that story. And he fell in love with you too. So I said to Nikki, you have to meet Avalon. She is just absolutely amazing. And here we are.
Yeah, and I have to say that I was just telling my husband how Kaylin has regained his confidence in Spanish, and like he's a different person when it comes to that language. So I thank you very much for that.
We're thanking you.
Oh, thank you so much for the vote of confidence, you know, from Instagram to, you know, it being reality is what I love to hear, you know.
Thank you
so much. I appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So Avalon had already told us a little bit about herself.
Yes, growing up in Maypen. I mean, it's interesting, you know, going from Maypen to university in Kingston and then going overseas. So let's hear a little bit about that.
Okay. So I grew up in Maypen. Yes, I attended Glenmuir High School for a bit before I moved on to Kingston, where I continued my studies at Immaculate. But my family, my parents grew up here and are big in business. After I left here, you know, it's quite a bit of a journey where I got to Kingston, and a little bit of a story. My mom was no longer here in the country. She had to go away. And so I lived with my aunt and my uncle in Kingston. And I then, you know, after high school, went on to university. And there I decided to study linguistics and minor in Spanish. I naturally gravitated towards the languages. I naturally did well at them. And so my mom pretty much was, you know, she encouraged me to follow what I was good at. And that was language.
Great advice.
Yes. So I decided to just pursue that in uni. Did linguistics and minored in Spanish. And then immediately after graduating, I landed a job at the Spanish American Foundation, which is the philanthropic arm of the Embassy of Spain. And I worked closely with the project manager at the time and the ambassador of Spain to Jamaica. And it really was primarily because of my abilities in Spanish why I landed the job. And I learned quite a bit on the job, you know, having to carry different projects in the field of education, social projects, sporting projects as well. So it was quite a bit of an experience for me. It was a good job, but I would finish work really early. So I'd finish work at like 2:30, 3 o'clock, and then I'd go home and it was like, what do I do from 3 until tomorrow? So I then decided, let me find out, you know, can I take up French? Because I just naturally liked languages. I hadn't done French before. And so I reached out to the Alliance Française and I just decided to start classes. I did really well at it as well, and I think that was primarily because of my background in Spanish. And they said to me, hey, why don't you think of doing a teach abroad program in France? And I was like, leave my job here to go to France and teach abroad. It just was not on the cards at the time. I didn't conceive that concept at all. But you know, I molded over and I said, why not? You're 22, you're 21. When else will I do this in my life? So I said, let's, you know, let me try, I'll apply. If I get through, I get through. If I don't, then I still have my job. And I got through. The paperwork wasn't terrible when I had to do it. It wasn't too much of a challenge because the French embassy at the time handled everything. From the school, and I went abroad. Initially, I was going on my own, and my mom said, no, you can't go by yourself, so I'll come with you. And I was...
Every mother's dream.
Right? I mean, my mom didn't want to come back. But it was a really, really good experience for me my first year when I went to France. So that was my first trip abroad and being thrown into this country. So I've been doing French for about a year. And, you know, I reached there and I was just floored. I understood nothing. I could not function. I was just like, I've been studying. I've been learning. This is a joke. I couldn't understand. I literally was not following a thing. Even my mom was just like, they're saying, it's time to go to lunch. Like, okay, that's what they said.
Mom spoke French?
Not at all.
Oh.
she was even more annoyed at the fact that I was not functioning at all. You know, I think I was just paralyzed with fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, understanding that this is going to be my life, my mom, as my crutch, won't be there anymore.
Oh, so she I would didn't have stay to... with you for the year. Here I was thinking.
No. She just wanted to make, she traveled with me.
Oh, okay,
correct. That's so correct. Good. Yeah, no, she was there for a week.
Would have wanted to stay. Yeah, would have wanted to. They would have said.
Yeah, no, she would have had to come home to work to make sure I had money up there. But yeah, I think I was just really paralyzed that this was going to be my life. I had no friends, no family over here. And, you know, I had decided to venture on this journey, left everything behind.
Where were you in France?
I was just north in an area they called Beauvais. So it wasn't in Paris. It was a little bit further north. So it was a smaller town.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was a really great experience. I had met my boyfriend there at the time. And so...
was he French?
Yes, he was French. Yes, my ex is French. So that helped me quite a bit, you know, having
that. Of course, settling.
Helping me to settle in. I had kind of gotten a feel for, you know, got my way around the town. At this point, I decided to take classes again. And you know, try to brush up on it, and being immersed in the country as well definitely helped in terms of my acquisition of the language. So I moved initially when we started talking, he actually spoke Spanish, so that helped me quite a bit, and then the transition into French just kind of naturally happened over time. So I would say that my first experience going to France on a teach abroad program was relatively easy. I had a lot of props and stuff. I came home after that because the program had ended. And then I decided.
For a year?
Yeah, I was there for 8 months.
8 months, okay.
Okay, what happened to the boyfriend?
We can talk about that off air.
Well, okay, I'll tell you guys in a bit. So I came home and, you know, we decided that we were going to try long distance. And I then reapplied to move back to France, but to do my master's. So at this point, my French, which was non-existent, had moved to a level of relative proficiency within the 8 months. Mm-hmm. Being immersed, absolutely. So the immersion program was really, really good. And I was very diligent in, you know, in ensuring that I communicated with French speakers. I mean, I had my boyfriend as well. But the thing with these programs, they can be very effective in terms of getting you to a point of relative proficiency. However, if you find, and we tend to do this as people, you know, gravitate towards our own kind. So there were a few other Jamaicans as well, and I didn't really hang out with them. I did at points, but I realized that if I really wanted to advance in the language, which was my aim, then I would have had to distance myself from a group that spoke primarily in English.
Right, and, of course. You know, that was smart.
And really, you know, throw myself in an immersion program. So that's what I did. And it's funny because I came back as one of the better you know, the more proficient ones. So I think my advice would definitely be, you know, try to throw yourself into an environment where you have to be forced to,
to you have no choice speak but the language. The language, yeah.
Correct, correct.
So how about the culture though? How is it, how do you adjust to the culture in France in terms of the food, in terms of, you know, integrating with me with the French? How was that for you?
Right. Initially, so I'll tell you about my second time around, because my first time, I think it was a little bit of a honeymoon phase where I was only there for 8 months, and you know, we had a group that we would be hanging with, and so you felt that security of the group. So at no point did I feel in any way disenfranchised, because I always had the support of the group of us doing the same program. When I decided to go back for my master's, it was a bit different. It was quite unexpected. This is in Paris, you know, hustle and bustle. Everybody is pretty much focused on, you know, on their own path.
No
and
more
I found
cushion.
It very difficult. Sorry?
No more cushion for you.
No more cushion. So I was not cushioned. I mean, I had the language that was a big support for me. But in terms of support group, I didn't have that. Mm-hmm. My boyfriend at the time had gotten back into his routine, which was extremely busy. So I was really on my own. Mm-hmm. And I found it extremely difficult to make friends and to adjust to life there. The food was good. I mean, I didn't have much of an issue adjusting in that regard. It was different, you know, a little bit less spicy, a bit more bland than what we would have been accustomed to. But you know, I adapted and adjusted, and so, you know, food wise it was okay. But integrating with the French is a very difficult, it's a difficult feat. They pretty much are, if you haven't grown up with them, so if you didn't meet in high school or even prep school, then or primary school, then you wouldn't have had that connection with them. You know, they know you, they will acknowledge you, but to say that you could really integrate into a group would be.
I find that with Jamaicans too.
Yeah, they're not a very inclusive society. I don't think we're that. No, oh. No, I think the French tend to be. They really lock you out.
Well,
they lock you out.
No, man, they do. I mean, it's very difficult to break into the groups because they've already established that, you know. So, and I think in general, though, making friends as an adult is much more difficult than it is as an adult, you know, as an adolescent. So,
you found a way to settle in and get accustomed to your environment, because you had no choice, right?
So I didn't have much of a choice. My program as well at school was entirely in French. So I didn't have a choice but to just throw myself into groups and try to integrate as much as possible. Mm-hmm. So it really, you know, it caused me to explore another side of myself that I didn't know that I had, which was, you know, just determination and grit. And, you know, people are pretty much slamming doors in your face and you're just like, well, I'm still here.
Or just opening the
you
door.
Know, opening so the correct. So opening the door.
Okay. So how long were you in Paris for this time around?
My program was for 2 years.
Okay.
Yes. And then I extended my stay. So I lived there for a total of 5.
Really? Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, so I think the longer you stay is the more you adapt and adjust to your environment. And so things that would have happened, I did experience racism at different points.
Mm-hmm.
Even from going to the hairdresser and being told that, you know, they don't do my type of hair. Wow. And so I would have to go somewhere else. I think that was the first major throw of racism in my face. Mm-hmm. And you know, I realized that, hey, you just have to have thick skin here. You really have to build
resilience.
Correct. So I developed that I didn't have here. So I think if you're planning on, you know, if you plan on going abroad or studying abroad for any, in any country, you will you will experience these difficulties. Mm. And it's just how you grow from there. You know, I could have had a completely opposite reaction where I'm just like, you know what, I want to go home. I'm done. But I didn't. I stayed.
I think that kudos to your mother, because I was just having this conversation with my sister.
Mm-hmm.
In that, I think if you raise confident children and you have to have a certain confidence, you can be resilient because you know yourself. So it's like if somebody offers you a racist comment, you kind of just let that.
The thing though, from Jamaica, where we're not accustomed to that, it can be, I'm sure, the first couple of times it was a total slap in your face.
Yes, it was a slap in my face.
I'm sure experiencing that and how do you deal with it? But the fact is, you dealt with it. And you know, you're here to tell us the story, and you carried on. You kept going.
Yes, that's the aim. You have to keep going.
I mean, it's an absolute shock because you just don't experience it here. Yeah.
Correct.
So then, when did you end up in Spain?
Well, so after I completed my master's program in France and did an extra year, again, I'm just like, oh, I'm stuck here, you know. Yes, life is okay and things are going okay, but I wanted more. And I think in the back of my mind, I wanted to come home to create my own language program, my own language school. And the best way I thought that, you know, I would be able to create that was by getting as much experience as possible in different countries. So I had gotten quite a bit of experience in France, I mean, doing my master's program there in language didactics. And then I decided to move on to Spain to see, okay, what more can I learn? What more can I add to my skill set? And I applied through Oxford TEFL to do the Teach English as a Foreign Language official certification program through that company in Barcelona. And so I moved to Barcelona.
Barcelona.
So I decided to move there, and it was night and day. I loved it. When I tell you, that is the other city that I would have lived outside of Jamaica, the country. Well, city in Spain would have been Barcelona. Mm. 1,000%. I loved it. I mean, there was.
My sister's in Valencia.
Oh, Valencia.
Oh, she's in Valencia.
Like, yeah, she's lived there for, gosh, forever. And one of my best friends lives in Sitges.
Oh, nice. No, I mean, food-wise, I adored La Paella. So when I got there, I mean, it was touching winter. It was October. So fall heading into winter. And the first time I went there, I was on my own again. And I integrated so well between the food, the culture, people on the streets were like, hola, como estás? You know, it was really a very warm, welcoming feeling. Yes. And I think it reminded me the most of home.
Wow.
In terms of just the warmth of the people. And the landscape. So, I mean, you have the beach a little bit further down at Barceloneta, and then I could go to the mountains if I wanted to. So, I mean, there were days where I'd cycle down to the beach right before my classes and just hang out on the beach and then, you know, head back up, head to my classes and then head to the mountains.
A few years ago, my oldest son came to us and he said, I want to go to Spain for the summer, for a summer program. Mm-hmm. Like Spain. And he says, yes, I want to go. So he jumped on a plane by himself. There was it wasn't a school project or anything.
Right.
He went to Spain for the summer. Loved it. He extended his stay an additional week. I have a school friend that lives in Spain. His dad was a Spanish ambassador, you know, years ago. And he went back to Spain to live. And JP went to stay with him for, I think it was 2 weeks.
Oh,
so he was there for about 4 weeks. Absolutely loved it. In fact, a lot of the friends he met at that time, they're still in touch.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh,
a really good time. And in fact, he sent us a video. He's on the beach in Spain and they're playing reggae.
So, that was it. Oh my gosh, that must have been perfect. Yes.
You're playing some. So but you don't need, I mean, that's what you're saying about your experience. That's
yeah.
what
yeah. It's a different energy for sure.
Different
energy.
Very different energy. And I think sometimes the weather has something to do with it too.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I guess you're a little bit more insular when it gets colder. Mm-hmm. But I mean, just integrating with them, there was so much to do as well. I found that it's such a vibrant city. And you know, kids, it's safe. I think that was the biggest thing for me. They do have pickpockets there. And last hablas, bueno. But outside of that, I mean, the most you're going to have is pickpocketers. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you could walk the streets at 11, 12 o'clock at night mm-hmm. and feel pretty safe. I mean, right. kids would be out as well.
And so, how long were you in Spain?
I was there for a year.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then after Spain, did you come home or what did you?
Yes, I did come home. So after Spain, I came home, not necessarily voluntarily, but my work visa had expired.
Oh, okay.
And so I was trying to move back there. That's how much I loved it. I had decided I wanted to live there. Mm-hmm. But bureaucratically, it was very challenging. Oh, in both countries, both in France and Spain, red tape is a very real thing. So I think that was the main reason why. So people have reached out to me since then.
The work visa and
getting work visa. Gotcha. Yes, so getting the work visa and being able to apply there as a non-EU citizen.
Oh.
So they prioritize EU citizens mm-hmm. For any of the work positions, and you know, so I applied as a US or Jamaican citizen, and that it's very difficult, it's very, very challenging to get through that way.
Okay.
So after that, I came home and then I, you know, decided that I was going to apply to China.
I know.
Again, yes, I wanted to learn Mandarin. So I wanted to learn Mandarin. Again, my vision for my language school was to offer a range of languages and, you know, to get as much exposure to different teaching styles.
Had you done Mandarin before this, or this was your first exposure to Mandarin?
I had done it. So I'd signed up for a course at the Confucius Institute.
At UWE.
At UWE.
Right.
And I had started there and... I don't know, sometimes with these courses, you know, you start really strongly and then you kind of fall off. So I decided to apply to teach English in China, and I was accepted, and then I said, okay, let's head off to China. So this was 2017.
Again, immersion.
So it was a full immersion into.
Where did you go in China?
I went to Shenzhen.
Okay.
So yeah, Shenzhen is further south, near to Hong Kong. And that was it was experience of a lifetime. I had not experienced anything like it. It was
what's about it?
I mean, right. So language wise, I was extremely it was a huge challenge for me when I got to the airport. I did have my support staff there to welcome me, ensure that I was in, you know, got safely to my hotel. Experience apartment hunting, I think, was the biggest shock for me. They have, well, you have a range of apartments that you can get, that you can, you have a very small accommodations, and you also have, you know, a little bit more high-end. So when I was looking at the range, I said, you know what, I want to be amongst the locals, so show me some areas there. It was very shocking, I will say. They
in terms of
the state of the apartments, or
the state of the apartment. It was, one of them I had gone in was really messy, it was flooded. Yeah, it had what I call an all-in-one. So you have the shower and the toilet all-in-one, which was very interesting. So when you go to China,
a challenge, okay?
I've been yes. Told. So it wasn't Western.
But I've never heard of the Western. All-in-one though. I've never heard of that.
Right. So they have the shower literally above the toilet. So there's no need to move to another area in the bathroom. You get to do everything in one spot. It's So,
size, yeah,
yes. What they do is economize on space. I'm sorry, yes. So, they're very small. And I mean, it's over a billion people.
I don't know if you've
ever over millions of people living in Shenzhen as well.
I've never been to Shenzhen, but when I went to like Beijing or Shanghai, all you see are these giant, and I mean giant condominium, like apartments.
Correct.
One after the other after the other. It's like mind-boggling. And then you see the lines of clothes hanging outside. It's
correct.
It's just like mind-boggling.
Yes,
it is. Yeah. So that must have been a whole shift in your
It was a whole shift. A whole shift. But surprisingly, you would think that it's just condominiums straight throughout, but they do prioritize having parks. So one of the things that really helped me was there was a park not very far from my apartment. And so there are quite a few green spaces around, and they would encourage, you know, particularly older people to go out and do Tai Chi. So you would, at any point in the day, you would see people strolling with their kids or, you know, doing some form of exercise in the parks. So I thought that was really impressive. I was quite impressed.
How long were you there for?
I was there for a year as well.
Okay.
Right. One of the other shops.
With Mandarin?
I wish. That was a significantly more challenging given the workload. So they prioritize work, and if they brought you over to China, it is to make sure that you get their work done. And I found it very difficult to juggle that schedule and at the same time take on the classes, which was a part of the agreement. But if they didn't have the number, then they didn't do the classes.
Okay.
And so you found that they were quite warm. My students in particular, I taught adults. My adult students would hang out and would want to practice their English quite a bit, and would, you know, now and again give you different words that would help me throughout. So I would say that I was functional in Mandarin, but I didn't get to the point that I had with French at all.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was one of the major things as well. That really stood out at me was when you're walking through the city, everybody stares. They run for their cameras, they run for the rest of the family, and everybody's running out into the streets. Oh, look. You know, so you really feel like a celebrity.
I'm sure that they thought that you were beautiful. You know what I mean? So that is one of the reasons why. That was our experience when we were there too.
My mother went to Beijing many years ago, and she said that was her experience too. In fact, tried to touch her.
Yes, yes. They're wondering if this is paint or are you really colored individual? Yes.
Right.
So it was.
That's interesting.
You know, lots of it was. It was quite interesting. I had a friend come over, and she was a little darker than me. So that, I mean, if I thought cameras came out, then the cameras came out when she got there.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So they're innocently very curious. They just wanted to, you know, they've never seen it before. They've never seen a mixed person, or they've never seen a colored person.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Did you experience any discrimination?
I think I had. It wasn't overt, but they would, maybe they would kind of walk a little bit, a little bit further out when they see me coming. I'm not sure.
Nothing that made you uncomfortable though?
No, not really. Not really. I mean, I was amongst other people as well. And at this point I had gained enough confidence in myself and knowing who I was, that those things they don't bother me as much anymore now.
China's a big difference because obviously, you know, I have a Chinese background. So I think he's going to China. But
yes.
It's a
closed society, so
it's quite
understandable,
closed.
You know, that
it is quite
anybody
closed.
That comes in that they think looks different to them, you know, they're not going to integrate as quickly.
And I
That's
think
hard.
that I think as you go south, like Beijing, I find to be very cold and hard, and Shanghai often gets more fashionable, more warm. And time you reach Hong Kong, it's like, oh, I could live here type of way.
Yes,
It
that's
depends on where you
correct.
are.
It does. I found that interestingly, weight is a big thing there, and particularly for females paying attention to their bodies. I remember I was considered obese there. Yes. They were asking me, "Oh, are you going to eat meat?" And I said, "Yes." We had all gone out to restaurants, and eating out at restaurants was a big thing. So cooking at home was not it's not really mainstay, at least in Shenzhen. So we would constantly be going out for whether it was lunch or dinner. And I remember the female saying to me, asking me if I really intended on eating meat, if I didn't realize that I was already big and I needed to
Oh
lose
my
weight.
goodness.
And
I
I'm
mean,
like, huh?
just to know,
So
Polon is very tiny.
exactly. I
So
can see it.
I was a little bit shocked. I mean, I found it funny, but other people may quite a bit, could have been offended by those comments. And I find that sometimes they're a little bit direct in that regard. But they prioritize eating fish and vegetables, mainly in the south, to maintain their figures. So I found that quite interesting, from a cultural standpoint.
So then you came back home to Jamaica.
Yes,
And
and
you,
big things happened.
right? So you, when did you start the language boutique?
So I started the language boutique in 2018. I actually started construction here in 2018, and then officially opened in 2019 for summer camp. And I mean, it was challenging, construction wise. I mean, I was spending quite heavily at that time trying to get the property, up and running. It actually belonged to my grandmother, who passed, and she bequeathed this side of the building to me. But it was in need of repairs. Yeah, it was in need of repairs and stuff. So I had invested quite a bit of my own money into the repairs. So starting here, I had a lot of hopes and expectations that, it would have blossomed into what I had envisioned, which was really a space where people would feel comfortable, I would feel welcomed, and would feel encouraged to really speak the language and learn. I think, and I've said this to Michelle on quite a few occasions, that the way in which language is taught here, it is very prohibitive. So students are not, they don't feel inclined to learn most of the time. 99% of the time, you'll hear students saying, "I hate it. I can't wait to drop it. It's important." And I really wanted to be a part of changing that narrative. For me, I didn't have that experience, and as I said, I've naturally gravitated towards language. So I wanted it to be an experience similar to what I had, where I enjoyed it, and I found that working with the education system as is in Jamaica was not going to allow me that flexibility, and the freedom to teach how I wanted to and get through to students in the way that I thought was most effective. So that's when I decided to create here, and it's been good. I'm trying to get a space in Kingston, which I found a location. So I'm hoping, gracias. So I will be expanding here. Myself
Yay. Nice.
in the coming year. So,
And then COVID hit. How did that affect you?
correct. So COVID hit literally months
Shortly
after
after,
opening,
right?
right? So it was a bit of a challenge, but I had been doing online classes from before, and so I had pivoted into just moving everybody online, which
Oh, that's
wasn't
how
much
I
of a
found you.
challenge, right? Because when I started advertising, so many people were in Kingston or in Montego Bay, and they're just like, "Oh, we need something like this in Kingston." And so I said, "If you'd be open to trying online, then we could see how that could work." And I mean, it's been great. It's literally been 90% of my business is still online.
Oh, well,
So
that's so
that's good.
nicely.
And I think what's nice about Avalon and how she teaches is that she teaches in a different format than the regular, as you had said. So
maybe
tell us one of your unique ways of teaching.
Well, my aim has always been for you to see language in your everyday life. So what are things that you enjoy doing, you know, from teens to kids to adults, you know, we try to meet them where they are. So if it is that you gravitate towards video games, and we try to create classes around video games, or if it is that you're interested in gardening, whatever. So the rules are the same. I can't invent them, I can't change them, but I can certainly change the way in which the information is presented.
Sure.
It's just making sure that, you know, we go at your pace. If it is that you you want to take it a little bit slower, then you take it slower. If you can go a little bit faster, then, you know, you do that.
Well, I can tell you, I mean, I literally look forward to my classes every week. And what I enjoy most about it is, first of all, I didn't think I would enjoy classes online. That's the first thing. But I actually do. And that's because of how you do it. I literally feel like I'm in the same room with you. And because it's a lot of conversation, I don't feel like I'm literally in a class. I feel like I'm having a conversation with you about another language. I don't even refer to it as a foreign language. In another language, and how you present it, it doesn't feel like I'm in a class. A conversation. I mean, I'm probably one of the slowest students, but that's okay. Slow and steady.
We'll meet you where you are.
Slow and steady.
Well, my husband.
But I really, really enjoy it. I really look forward to every single week that we have class. And so much so that I'm, oh my gosh, I have class tomorrow. Let me do some revision really quick. But it doesn't feel like it's pressure.
Good.
It is literally enjoyable.
That's always the aim.
Present it.
Yes, yeah, for sure. My husband just said, I need to brush up on my French. And I said, oh, I have just the perfect person for you.
Avalon.
Thank you.
But
so
what
much.
I want to know is, when's the trip?
Oh, the trip is, we're planning it for next year to Costa Rica. Oh. So I'm working with a travel agent in Costa Rica to curate a program. So it will be very different from a touristy trip. It really is about integrating with locals and getting hands-on in the language.
The best
culture.
Way.
Yes.
Is it for kids or adults?
It's mainly for adults. Mainly for adults. Yay. Okay. So, yeah, older teens maybe, but definitely not like 9, 10.
Okay.
Because we want you to have the freedom.
Okay.
So it will be the first of many, hopefully.
Yes. So Avalon can be found on Instagram.
Tell us where.
Yes. Language Boutique 75. That's our Instagram handle. Okay. And you can also reach us at email, languageboutique75@gmail.com, and or by WhatsApp, 541-0865.
So even if they are overseas, they can do classes with you because you're on.
Yes, we actually have.
Yeah, students.
Correct. We actually have students abroad.
Mm-hmm. Right. Awesome.
Okay.
Yes. So it's been going really well. They've enjoyed the classes as well.
And tell us, are you ready to unveil where your office is in Kingston, or we're not quite set on that yet?
Not quite set. We know where it is, but we just have to work out some final details first.
Okay, you'll keep
so, I will. Yes, I'll keep you posted, and I'll definitely post that on the page as well.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you so much for taking your time.
No, thank you.
And telling us your whirlwind story. And of course, we
thank
love
you.
Came back home, right?
Yeah, thank you. That was always the plan, to come back home and give back.
And we still don't know what happened to the French boyfriend. But anyhow,
you hear that off
story.
Air. You hear that off air. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Adios,
muchas gracias.
And what's in Chinese, in Mandarin, how do you say goodbye again?
Tai Chien.
Okay.
Tai Chien.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of What the 50. Please show your love and encouragement by sharing, subscribing, and leaving a review wherever you're listening.
And don't forget to like and follow us on Instagram. And please join our active Facebook group at What.the50.